Certainly is a wonderful blessing to be here today, and we're so thankful for the services that have gone on before, and just pray that the Lord would continue to be with us. Appreciate your prayers, and we fully realize that the gospel of the Lord Jesus will not be preached if His Holy Spirit is not with us. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where it said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here the Apostle Paul gives the three parts of man: spirit and soul and body. In Hebrews chapter 4, we have a very interesting verse. Verse 12 that says, "For the word of God is quick." That word "quick" means alive. And I think this word is not talking about this written word that I have in front of me, but it's talking about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. "For the word of God is quick," it's alive, the Lord Jesus Christ, "and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Lord Jesus Christ can discern between the soul and the spirit. I don't think I can right now. Man has body, soul, and spirit. And to us right now, the soul and spirit seem to be the same. And I can't really discern between them, but the Lord can. I think about this verse a lot as I'm sitting or standing next to the graveside of someone that has passed away from this life. And as you see the casket fixing to go down into the ground, and I think about the three parts of man, and I think about when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary for the elect family of God, what part of us did He die for? He died for every part of us. He died for all of us. He died for our body and for our soul and for our spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ always gets what He pays for. Sometimes we don't. You ever been through a drive-thru and you get the combo and then you get a few miles down the road and you look in the bag and lo and behold, you don't have any fries? You know that's a bad feeling. That's when I have to watch the old flesh. They left the fries out, and I don't have time to go back and get them. I didn't get what I paid for. But that never happens to the Lord Jesus Christ. When He pays for something, He gets what He paid for. And I'll tell you, for all the elect family of God and for every individual in the elect family of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ purchased their body and their soul and their spirit. And I think about that as I see dear old saints of God that they breathe their last breath, and you see that body fixing to go into the ground. And I think one sweet day, this body that is going to the ground and will go back to the dust, one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come back because He purchased that body.
Amen.
He'll come back in the clouds with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's coming back for that body. He paid for it, and He always gets what He paid for.
Amen.
He always gets it. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a sweet thought. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's also a sweet thought, something that's taught in the Scripture that we call the immortality of the soul. Body, soul, and spirit. We were born again by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ with his life-giving voice, brought life from death. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ, with his life-giving voice, brought life. The book of John, he said, "For the hour is coming, and now is when the dead in trespasses and sins, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." He brings life from the dead. He takes the dead alien sinner and he makes us alive. And he makes a part of us perfect and complete, ready for heaven and immortal glory right then. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." There's a part of us, when the Lord Jesus Christ borns us again by His Holy Spirit, there's a part that's been made ready for heaven right then. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, us as born again children of God, when we breathe our last breath, I'm thankful that immediately at that time, that soul and spirit, which I really can't discern between those two right now, will immediately go to be with our Lord and Savior, our Master and our Redeemer in heaven and immortal glory right then.
Right.
You know, I rejoice in the teaching of the resurrection and what a blessing that is. But I'll tell you, I rejoice to know the immortality of the soul, that I don't have to wait, that my daddy, who has already passed away from this life, I don't have to wait to think that he won't be in the presence of the Lord till the end of time. But I can know and understand that he and all the dear old saints of God that have pressed the dying pillow were immediately with their Lord and Savior, their Master and their Redeemer, right upon their death. I'm going to tell you, that's precious to me. That's glorious doctrine. How much peace that can give us now.
Right.
I haven't been preaching that long, but I've been preaching long enough. For I've seen many dear old saints of God that I've sought to be their pastor to pass on. What a blessed thought it is to know that as they press a dying pillow, they immediately upon their last breath are with the Lord Jesus Christ right there. They don't have to wait till the resurrection at the last day, but their soul and their spirit are basking in the glory of the Lord right then.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible teaches this all over. And I, for the sake of time, I don't want to go to a lot of individual verses, but you'll see in Genesis 25 and Genesis 35 and even other places in the book of Genesis where it'll give statements like this, while their soul was in departing. Before she died. Her soul was in departing to be with the Lord in heaven and immortal glory before she died.
Right.
You'll see times where the patriarchs, as they died, it would say, sometimes say they gave up the ghost. Not gave it down, but gave it up. Ecclesiastes said, "The body shall return to the dust, but the Spirit shall return unto God, which gave it." Our bodies are just dust. They'll go back to the dust. In Genesis chapter 2, God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We're just dust. You know, sometimes I get angry and I've even made this statement, you know, somebody's mistreating you and you say, "They're treating me like dirt. They have no right to do that." But you know, that's really what we are. Really what I am, really dirt. I guess they can treat me like dirt. That's really what I am. But the Spirit, body will go back to the dust, at least for a while. but the spirit returns to God which gave him. It's taught numerous times in the Old Testament. You'll see times where the patriarchs that said they died and they were gathered to their people. And then it will say they were buried. Some folks may say, well, Brother Mark, that means they were gathered to their families in the old family cemetery. Well, it says that of Abraham. And he was only buried by his wife. Because, see, there was no family cemetery. He had left the land where he grew up. God said, go to a place I'll show thee. He had left there. He had to buy some land because he was in a strange land. He had to buy the land from strangers to bury his wife Sarah. He was buried by her. He wasn't gathered to his people. The old family cemetery, he was gathered to his people before he's ever buried. He's gathered to his people in heaven in immortal glory because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. Matthew chapter 22, some Sadducees come to the Lord Jesus and they don't believe in the resurrection. I've heard it said for many years, that's why they were sad, you see. If I didn't believe in the resurrection, I'd be sad too. They came not believing in the resurrection, not believing in heaven and immortal glory. And they came and said, there was a man who died. According to the Levitical law, that man's brother was to marry his wife and to raise up seed unto his brother. They said that brother married her and he died, and there were seven brothers, and all these brothers married this one woman. And they all died, and none of them had children, so she was no more one man's wife than the other. So they asked the Lord Jesus, so in the resurrection, so in heaven, whose wife shall she be? Now, they don't believe in a resurrection, and they think they've caught the Lord Jesus in this wonderful little trap that they've set. But you can't ever catch the Lord Jesus in the trap. The Lord Jesus said, ye do greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times in Mark Quarles' life, when I get things wrong, it's because of one of those two things. Either I don't know the Scripture, or I'm not fully realizing the power of God. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, ye do greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven. He said, but it's touching the resurrection. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, there's a lot of things that that verse teaches. One of the things is that God, through this written word, speaks to us.
Right.
That's an important point in that.
Yeah.
He said, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Now, what he quotes was spoken unto God out of the burning bush to Moses. God never audibly spoke that to the people that Jesus was speaking to. But Jesus, out of his own lips, said, God spoke it to you. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Now, what does that tell me? When I read this book, God is speaking to me. When I read this book, God is speaking to me. Now, you ever had somebody talking to you, or you're trying to talk to somebody and they're not listening? How do we feel when that happens? We feel a little insulted, don't we? We're talking to them and they're not listening. I'm going to tell you, when this Bible lays down, and I don't read it, God's speaking, but I'm not listening. I'm going to tell you, if we ever listen to anybody in our life, we better be listening to God.
Amen.
He's speaking to us in His Word, and I would to God, I'd read it more. And I'd listen to what God is telling me. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, when God spoke that to Moses out of the burning bush, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been physically dead for many years. But here Jesus said they're not dead. Why? Their bodies were in the ground. Because their souls and spirits were with the Lord and in heaven and immortal glory. So there was a part of them that was not dead.
Right.
The Lord Jesus teaches this plainly at the scene of the death of Lazarus. You remember when Jesus comes up and Martha said, Lord, if that's been here, my brother would not have died. I think he got that right, because I don't see anywhere in history where anybody ever died in the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. She said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That shows they knew the teaching of the resurrection. I suspect they had learned it from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself from His own lips. She said, I'll know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus has resurrection power. He has the power to give life. He showed that when He borned us again out of a death and trespasses and sin, that He gave us life. He showed us that. He's going to show us that at the end of time, when He raises up these dead bodies, He has resurrection power. You know, man believes that the greatest power is the power to take life, the power to kill, and that is great power. And men all over the world and criminals, even in our own cities, strive to get weapons that will take life. Because to them that's power. And that is power. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a far greater power than the power to take life. And that's the power to give life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one with that resurrection power. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Somebody that believeth is already believing. If I say somebody sleepeth, you get the impression they're going to go to sleep or they're already sleeping. Get the impression they're already sleeping. The Lord Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead. He's not saying that you believe in order to be made alive, but he's saying the one that believes were dead. He uses the past tense there. The one that believes is already alive and is giving evidence of that. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. You may say, Brother Mark, in this own very account, Lazarus, one that loved the Lord Jesus Christ and followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he died. So how could Jesus say, he that believeth in me shall never die? There's a part of Lazarus that didn't die. Immediately upon his death, his soul and his spirit immediately went to be in heaven and upon a glory. He didn't die. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, upon their death, Their souls and spirits immediately went to heaven and more to glory. They didn't die. We see even at the scene of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a thief there that had lived a notorious life. He was not only a thief in the standard meaning of the word, he was a thief that took things by force. He was a robber. He took by force what did not belong to him. And he had likely injured many in his life. And at the first part of the scene of the cross, both thieves were mocking and reviling the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of a sudden, one of them had a change of heart. Or maybe I should say one of them had a heart change. Because the Holy Spirit of God reached down. And that thief, in a moment, in an instant, I believe was born again by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit of God there upon that cross. And he quit mocking. He quit reviling. He rebukes the other thief. And he said, "We receive the due reward of our deeds." Meaning, we deserve to die. I've been doing probation work for about 24 years. And I've seen some criminals that would say they deserve to go to jail. I've not met one offender in my career that said, "I deserve to die for what I've done." But this thief says it. He says, "We receive the due reward of our deeds. I deserve to be on this cross," he says. But this man had done nothing amiss. He began to see himself as a great sinner. He began to see Jesus as sinless. This man has done nothing amiss. Then he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He saw Jesus as Lord. He saw Jesus as King. The disciples there that day were not even seeing him that way. They were in depression and despondency at that time. But this thief saw Jesus as Lord and King right there. What had happened? Had some man preached the gospel unto him and he got life? No. I'll tell you, he heard the life-giving voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the direct operation of the Holy Spirit of God came down and changed his heart in a moment, in an instant. Jesus gave him life. Jesus has resurrection power. What does he tell the thief? He said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise today. Today. Where was Jesus going to be? We know where his body was going. It's going to be going into the tomb. Where was Jesus going to be? After the Lord Jesus made that wonderful statement, "It is finished." Meaning the work of redemption is complete. Meaning I've redeemed all the elect family of God. I've purchased my bride by my own precious blood. He says one more thing upon the cross. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Where was Jesus going to be? Heaven and immortal glory. He was going to be in the Father's house. Where was that thief going to be? Where's paradise? Heaven and a mode of glory.
Right.
It's in the Father's house.
Right.
Jesus tells that thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Immediately upon his last breath, his soul and his spirit that had been cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ goes to be in heaven and a mode of glory. Didn't have to wait till the resurrection at the last day.
Right.
It was there. The Apostle Paul describes that place. 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I was caught up into the third heaven. I was caught up into paradise. And I heard unspeakable things, which is not lawful for a man to utter. I'm going to tell you, heaven's so grand and heaven's so glorious that words cannot describe it. There's no language upon the face of the earth that can describe the beauty and the glories of heaven. That's where we will be blessed to be immediately on our last breath. Heaven and immortal glory. That's why when we press a dying pillow, trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can in our own minds realize dying peace. Grace is good to live by and grace is good to die by. One of the last proof texts I'll give in closing, give way to my dear yoke fellow in the ministry, Brother Ronnie Loudermilk. I love you very dearly, brother. Give way to him. The previous verse, previous chapter from where we started, says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning those that have died, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. It's okay to sorrow when our loved ones pass away. It's okay to miss them. It's good and it's right. But we're not to sorrow as those that have no hope, because we do have hope in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have hope. That you saw not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which believe in Jesus will God bring with Him. Who's He bringing? A bunch of bodies? No. The souls and the spirits of all the dear old departed saints of God that have ever died from the beginning of the world until that time. He's bringing them with Him.
Amen.
The immortality of the soul. There is part of them that never died, and they're with Jesus now. And Jesus, at the end of time, will bring them back. They will be with Him. He comes. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord. I've got to back up because now I lost my place. Y'all forgive me. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which believe in Jesus will God bring with you, with Him. For this I say unto you by the coming of the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be brought up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What a glorious thing is the teaching of the resurrection. Also, what a glorious thing is the immortality of the soul. When we breathe our last breath, we are immediately in the presence of our Lord and our Savior. All purchased for us because of the blood that was shed for us on Calvary's tree. May God richly bless you.